Hello again, class. We're moving on to class session number 6. We're going to continue talking about the spirit of honor, but mainly how pride will affect you from not walking in honor. And this is probably going to be our last session coming out of the book by Gramilio McDonnell. I stated last week, you don't have to get the book, but if you want to, it's really good reading. And everything that I'm going to be covering today is going to be coming from this book. All right. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We trust, Lord God, that students are getting everything they need. And I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that everything that I'm teaching is only undergirding Apostle and us learning how to walk in honor better towards him so that we can receive the revelation knowledge that's coming out of our apostle. And Lord, as always, I thank you for the Holy Spirit showing up, because if he don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I'm leading totally and dependently upon him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I like to always include that because I can't do this in my own ability. I can remember a time when I first started teaching. I would leave when we had students in the class. I would leave, get in my car, and say, "Lord, I can't do this. This, you know." But right after I said it, the Holy Spirit would say, "Well, if your apostle appointed you, he must have confidence in that you can do it." So I said, "Lord, I humbly accept, and I just thank you, Lord God, I can only do it through the leading and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit." Amen. And that's how I get through my classes. Right now I'm sitting in front of standing in front of a camera with nobody here, nobody in the room. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm teaching thousands because it's going out everywhere in the airways. Amen. All right. Leviathan, the root of all sin. That's what we're going to be talking about currently. And what I'm going to do now is talk about the apostolic a little bit and how the apostolic and what the apostolic is doing and how it's important, how the enemy through pride will try to disravel people who are trying to fall under proper government, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and try to get them to scatter and not submit to proper governmental authority. And a lot of times it's because of pride. All right. With that said, there is currently a reinsurgent or resurfacing of the apostolic office of the apostle in the church. The apostleship is an eternal office that has not died out with the last apostle, John. The apostleship has its root embedded in the great or the chief apostle, which is Jesus Christ. This office of the apostle is bringing the church back in alignment to God's original plan with the will, purpose, and the vision of the Lord for the establishment of his kingdom. This is the primary function of an apostle, to bring forth the reality of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth and in heaven as it is in earth. Okay. We are learning to understand just how important this office of apostle is and how it affects the government, how it puts that government in line, functioning properly. So that, you know, the apostle establishes a heaven to earth connection. And as we hook up and line up and get in alignment with apostolic government, we too can have that same heaven to earth connection, because that anointing always flows down from the head to apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, and to every other member in the body of Christ. Amen. All right. So I got that out of the way. All right. Certain things I'm going to skip over because I want to make sure we cover the meat of the text. Okay, pride will cause many to go forth into ministry before properly being sent out by government. And that's so very important. Give you an example. If you were to start a McDonald's franchise, McDonald's just won't automatically give you a franchise. They're going to do their homework, their research, to look at the demographics of where you want to put the McDonald's, the traffic flow patterns, the number of people in that area, because they want to make sure that everything is done to make sure that that McDonald's restaurant is going to be successful. You don't see many McDonald's closing. They might build a new one further down the street to modernize it, but very few McDonald's. I remember one closing in my lifetime that I can recall. Not saying that that was the only one, but that's the only one I remember. Same with ministry and ministry gifts. An apostle will not send you out if you're not qualified, if he doesn't think that, you know, and God haven't given him the instructions to do so. So why should you just jump out and say, I'm ready, I'm gone, see you later, you know? Why do good Christians think that they can just one day get up and start a church without first being sent and this being done in proper timing? Pride will send you out before the time. This is where the deception of pride comes into play. Satan, listen up. Satan, even though he's the fallen angel from heaven and fell as lightning from heaven, he still seeks to exalt himself over the Lord's throne and eclipse God's glory. And he attempts to do this by using the vehicle of man, mankind, or us. And especially church ministry leaders, to keep them disconnected without proper covering. I've seen this so many times, you know, and I could go into all kind of illustrations of people I know who refused the covering, left before covering sent them out, or got involved in pride while they were serving under the covering and left. Pride, in most cases, was the main ingredient that caused the separation. Amen? And what I'm endeavoring to do is to make sure that you do not let pride separate you from your God-given destiny, from the ministry God has called you to be a part of. Amen? So it's so very important. All right. There is a measure of safety and protection bestowed upon ministry gifts when they are properly positioned in ministry offices. Apostle Thompson, during one Sunday service, stated that there's an apostolic grace upon those who are properly connected under a covering. And that's so very important, that you are properly connected under a proper covering. There's an apostolic grace for people who are properly connected. So when you have that grace upon you, things go smoother. But when you step out because you decided it's time to go, you actually are walking in dishonor by doing that, because you're not staying in alignment like you're supposed to. Because even if you start the ministry, and even if God properly launches you, there's still a connection that needs to take place. Amen? All right. Satan, through the trickery and the deception stemming from Leviathan, or the spirit of pride, uses pride to deceive ministry gifts into thinking, I can do this on my own. All right, now, a person influenced by the spirit of pride will demonstrate these three characteristics. The first one is stubbornness. And stubbornness is a steadfastness not to change. You know, they don't want to change. They want to stick to their own agenda, okay? Stubbornness, just being stubborn. Number two, inflexibility, an unwillingness to change and not be able to bend. A person who's inflexible, they have a stiff neck. The scripture talks about a stiff neck people. When your neck is stiff, it's hard to turn, it's hard to go up and down, it's just stiff. I'm not bending. I'm not leaving my position. I'm stiff necked. Stiff neck or unyielding. Are willing to bend or to change your attitude or your position. Amen? So inflexibility, stubborn inflexibility. And the third one is hardness of heart. A person who has a hard heart, they're not sensitive to God anymore. A callous heart that cannot not be penetrated. And they can't hear from God. You don't want to have a callous heart. I remember years ago listening to one of Kenan Hagin's tapes. He talked about a man who would drink his coffee boiling hot, and so much so till there's different nerve endings in your tongue, in different positions in your tongue. And he had scalded his tongue to the point where even though it was hot, it didn't taste hot to him because all of those nerve endings and sensitive things in the tongue that detects taste and temperature and all that were seared, you know, and they become callous and hard. You know, you don't want your soul to become callous and hard. Pride will cause your soul to become callous and hard to the point of not being penetrable. So remember these three things. A person influenced by the spirit of pride will demonstrate stubbornness, inflexibility, and hardness of heart. Amen. All right. In Job chapter 41, verses 1 through 4, God questions Job about the spirit of pride or the spirit of Leviathan. And I'm going to just read some excerpts from Job chapter 41. These are questions God is posing to Job. He says, "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Can thou put a hook into his nose and bore his jaw through with a thorn?" In other words, you know, you just can't fish out Leviathan. You just can't, you can't put a hook in him. You can't, not in your own ability. The Amplified Bible, verse 1 and 2 says, "Can you draw out Leviathan, the crocodile, with a fish hook, or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you put a rope in his nose, or pierce his jaw through with a hook or a spear?" These verses are questions that God asked Job. They have to do with the inability of man to dominate the spirit of Leviathan on his own or with his own ability. Once it grips you. Now, in the early stages, when you see it, yeah, you can ask God in there. But, you know, you might be able to break loose. But once it gets a grip on you and it coils itself around you, like we talked about last week, I've seen it in people. They don't realize what it is, but they can't go back to where they left because of pride. Humanity, a man in his own ability, cannot control or dominate the spirit of pride by his own force. Listen up. You'll see this again. The only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan or pride, which is the same thing, is by God's anointing, and only if we humbly recognize that we are powerless without Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Read it again. The only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan or pride is by God's anointing, and only if we humbly recognize that we are powerless without Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Amen? We are powerless without Jesus. Okay, humility, humbleness and humility begins by recognizing our limitations and our dependency upon God. Arrogant people do not depend on God as their source of survival, nor do they seek God's help to achieve a goal. They rely on their own strength to obtain their heart's desire or their limited abilities. Okay, now, you know, when you're arrogant, you think, you know, I can do this on my own. I'm my own man. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I kind of like Satan. When you start saying all them I's, hey, yeah, mm-hmm, all right, I got your number. All right, listen up. You'll see this again. A person influenced by the spirit of Leviathan or pride does not consider prayer as an important part of their spiritual life. Why is that? Because they don't really feel the need for prayer because they feel like they can do it in their own ability. They may pray, but their prayers are self-centered. Their prayers center on them. Amen. But they don't consider prayer as a you know, important aspect of their lives. A person influenced by the spirit of pride or Leviathan does not consider prayer an important part of their spiritual life. Because pride tells me, you know, all is good, all is well, you know. You don't need the Lord's help. They pray, but their mind is already made up. And I remember one situation, this one lady, we were asked to, I guess, counsel, because she was doing some things in the ministry or at church that apostle had asked and requested, or basically said, I don't want selling. I don't want you promoting your business or anything in church. Leave the members alone. They're here to receive the word. Well, this particular person was coming in, promoting a business, an adventure that she was endeavoring to do and trying to recruit people for it. We counseled with her in one of the rooms in the back, and when we were praying, I'm holding my head down, but every now and then I kind of lift my head and look up. She was just stone-faced it, you know. In other words, I'm not receiving this, you know. I'm going to do my own thing. You can't tell me what to do. That's pride, you know. Needless to say, she's no longer with us. But, you know, I begin to see pride and how it manifests itself. And like you said, it, you know, even in prayer, you know, I said, well, let's pray. She says, okay. She was okay with praying, but not about that. Amen. All right. In Job 41:3, it says, will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? In other words, talking about pride. The spirit of Leviathan, more commonly known as pride, is an obstacle to prayer. People who find it hard to pray are bound under the influence of Leviathan. Arrogant people are unable to understand the need and the importance of prayer because they usually make their own way and their own decisions. Humble people recognize the need to seek God to pray because they realize it is impossible to live without God and be victorious. In Him, they live, they move, and they have their being. You know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So they're praying the will of God. However, those who are arrogant make decisions without seeking the will of God through prayer because they consider it unnecessary. I can remember, and I'm just using myself as an illustration, when right before I graduated from college, I had offers to go to grad school. My professors wanted me to go. I think one even kind of somewhat sent information, and University of Pennsylvania wanted me to attend their grad school in psychology because I majored in psychology. But I was really uncertain about where to go from there. And so I just, one day I went to the park. I didn't have any classes or very light load, and found some hedges where I can kind of hide behind the hedges and just sought God for about 3 or 4 hours, just praying in the Holy Ghost, saying, Lord, I thank you that your will be done in my life, and that I know the turn that I'm about to make is going to be important. And that's humility. Lord, I want to go in the right direction. I want to marry the right person. I want to make sure that I'm in your perfect will. And my desire was to go to another Bible college. I think I talked to you about that earlier in the semester. And one day I'm in my room, write my fiance, which is my wife, a letter, whom God instructed that she's going to be my wife. And in the middle of writing that letter, I couldn't finish and said, I'm planning on going to Tulsa in the fall. And my hands start shaking. The Holy Spirit just arrested me. I do believe my prayer a month or so or weeks before was a direct impact, because my will was to go, you know, and move. But God says, I want you to remain where you're at. You know, even though people even wanted us to, you know, was going to buy us grocery and send us back to central Louisiana, the Lord said, no, stay put in Baton Rouge. You know, and we did. We went to another church for several years until we were invited to Word of Life. And the minute I saw Apostle and the minute he ministered to us, my wife and I knew I was looking my destiny in the face. But all of that stemmed from, I do believe, prayer and seeking God's face, and God directed me. You know, because each time he directed me, like I said, I've shared this before, I was at a service, one of the first, maybe the second or third services I was at here in the old church down in the city of Old Darrow. This is New Darrow. Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, this is where you need to be, you know. And I know my prayers and my desire to do his will had a lot to do with him speaking with me. Because one of the things I learned, and I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, when you begin to obey God in those small areas that he tells you to obey, then he now is able to speak to you more in detail, you know. So always, I tell people, always when God speaks, immediately obey, you know, wholeheartedly obey, because that's going to open the door for him to share more with you about your destiny. Amen. All right, let me move on. The spirit of Leviathan does not make covenant with anybody because it's an independent spirit. Okay, in Job 41 and 4, it says, will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant forever? Okay, now the spirit of pride doesn't make covenants with anybody because it has an independent spirit. It doesn't think it has any weaknesses. See, a covenant is designed to eliminate weaknesses. When you cut covenant, with somebody. When we cut covenant with Jesus, we took on his strength and he took on our weaknesses. Even when you cut covenant with a pastor or a prophet, you know, you now inherit the strengths because you have access to it, you know. And God takes those weaknesses and you become a better person. Amen. Because a covenant will eliminate weaknesses. Amen. It never submits or serves anyone, a person walking in the spirit of pride. Pride is an obstacle for those who enter into a covenant or friendship or sonship. People under the influence of the spirit of pride are long rangers. They ride alone. They don't like to take orders. In other words, they do not serve well under spiritual covering because they do not like to submit or fall under the mission of another person. Luke 16 and 12 says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? In other words, you got to submit, fall under the mission of somebody else. Okay. All right, let me move on. Often people choose the divorce over trying to settle their differences because they're influenced by the spirit of Leviathan or pride, which makes people unable to forgive and humble themselves. Hence the reason why they prefer to dissolve the marriage union rather than admitting to their mistakes and working things out. And that's when you divorce, you're breaking a covenant. As a marriage vow is a covenant between two people and God, you know. And it's only separatable by death. Pride says, I'm right and you're wrong. Pride blinds people's eyes. It makes them unable to receive and to walk in a covenant they have through the blood of Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's see. I want to read some excerpts from the book. Pride always wants to be on top and in control. A person who is full of pride wants the entire world to submit and to serve them. A servant of Christ is a believer who serves people. If you want to serve, pride will try to prevent you from serving and submitting properly. You will have an alter motive or an ulterior motive in your own agenda. Okay, but now here's the flip side. Humility is a requirement to serve. All right, listen up. A major problem among leaders and believers today is a lack of submission to authority. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under someone whom they consider less knowledgeable or who has served less time in ministry to them, you know. If you are having difficulty submitting and serving other people, this is an indication that you are under the influence of Leviathan or pride and walking in pride. As I stated earlier, Jesus was the perfect example of humility and humbleness. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Humility took Jesus to the cross. That's why God so highly exalted him. When you humble yourself, you will be exalted. When you humble yourself, excuse me, you will be exalted. Amen. All right. I'm not going to read all of the scriptures out of Job. I'm looking at Job 41, 8 and 9. But go back and read Job 41. It gives you a lot of good information about where God is talking to Job, talking to him about Leviathan and what Leviathan can do. You know, well, I'm going to read Job 41, 8 and 9. Lay your hands upon him. Remember the battle with him. You will not do such an ill-advised thing again. Behold, the hope of the assailant is disappointed. One is cast down even at the sight of him. Pride will fight against you in every side. An important word of advice is to remember, never argue with a prideful person or a person who's arrogant, because you're not going to win. You know, disagreements with arrogant people have a beginning, but they don't have an end, because bickering is part of their lifestyle. It's inside them. It's a heart issue or a soul issue. That's why I use the illustration, you know, never let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, if a person want to argue, it takes two people to argue. I'll state my case, and if you're going to argue yours and be so lamentably that this is the way it's got to be, well, I'm going to take the high road while you take the low road. James 4 and 6 says, but he giveth grace, more grace. Therefore, he said, resist the proud, but give grace unto the humble. James 4 and 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So when you walk in humility, you're going to be walking in grace. The spirit of pride protects itself against other spirits that serve as impenetrable shields. And we talked about this maybe that first session. These protecting spirits must be dealt with before trying to rebuke the stronger spirit of pride. A lot of times there's a lot of areas, a lot of other things that's hindering a person who's walking in pride that has to be dealt with. Some people are unable to receive deliverance from the spirit of pride because his kingdom is protected by shields in that person's life. The spirit of Leviathan hides behind. When you meet a person that has been oppressed by the spirit of rejection, lust, insecurity, shame, fear, or religion, is an indication that they are possessed also by the spirit of Leviathan or pride. I mean, there can also be anger, contention there, bitterness, envy, strife, jealousy, you know, fear, hatred. Pride will be the root cause of all of these other sins and puts them in the forefront, so you really can't see the bigger picture. This, if you get rid of the pride, the anger will fall off, the contention will fall off, the bitterness will fall off, you know, the lust will fall off, the insecurity will fall off, the shame will fall off, you know, if you deal with pride, because pride don't want you to deal with it. Pride wants to deal with you, but it don't want you to deal with it. He uses these other spirits to hide behind and protect himself. These spirits operate in people influenced by the spirit of Leviathan or the spirit of pride. Oftentimes, people will justify their pride. They constantly raise barriers which prevent them from exposing the real emotion, their real emotion to others. They do not want to give their heart to anyone. To make matters worse, people influenced by the spirit of Leviathan are blinded and unable or are unaware to the fact that they have pride operating in their lives. Okay, in the last few minutes, we're going to talk about overcoming the spirit of Leviathan. The spirit of pride is eliminated by always, number one, walking in humility. All right. To defeat the spirit of pride, we must walk in true humility and recognize that we are powerless without the Holy Spirit. One more time. To defeat the spirit of pride, we must walk in true humility and recognize that we are powerless without the Holy Spirit. Okay, Romans 12 and 3. Through the grace or the anointing given us, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly or lowly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Humbleness means to recognize our humanity, that we are mere humans outside of Christ. We can do nothing, but in Christ we can do all things that strengthen us. Humility helps us to identify who and what we are without exalting ourselves above measure, and let us recognize our total dependency upon Christ. Humility will let you see, hey, without Christ, I can't do anything. So I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift me up. Humbleness is not a decision, but the recognition of who we are, recognizing our value in God, makes us truly humble. Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Amen. All right. Proverbs 15 and 3 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So here again, you know, overcoming pride with humility. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So it's so important that we walk in godly humility. Amen. All right. I didn't read this verse earlier, but Proverbs 18 and 12 I did. But I want to read the Message version of Proverbs 18 and 12. It says, first the fall, then the crash. I don't have it written right. First the fall, then the crash. But humility is the precursor of honor. Okay, I'm going to read it now. First the fall, then the crash. But humility is the precursor of honor. You know, so pride, first the fall, then the crash. But when you walk in humility, it is a precursor of honor. Okay? So here again, you're seeing pride, you're seeing crash and fall, but when you walk in humility, it's a precursor or the beginning of you walking in honor. Amen? All right. Remember, we said that pride is the root of all sin. Pride is the belief that we are better than others. Prideful people are an insult to God. They are detestable, repugnant, or repulsive, and offensive in God's eyesight. Amen. Pride is the greatest obstacle that prevents us from receiving revelation knowledge or the revelation of God's word. The Lord can deliver us from the spirit of pride. Okay? Proverbs 22 and 4 says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. 1 Peter 5 and 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to you elders, to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed in humility. For God resisted the proud and gives grace to the humble. God will resist prideful people, but when you walk in godly humility, it says he gives grace and gives grace to the humble. Amen? All right. There's a few passages in here before we conclude that I want to read. You know, it says here, however, those who are arrogant make decisions without seeking God's will through prayer because they consider it unnecessary. And we talked about that. There was some right towards the end. All right, knowing this, we can say the scales are tightly closed together. It's talking about pride. And impenetrable, even the Holy Spirit cannot pierce through it. Pride binds people and prevents them from operating in the spirit of pride. But once you submit to God and cry out to Him, but even the Holy Spirit, that's why it's so hard for people to come back once they leave a ministry. The Holy Spirit might be trying to get in, but they're so tightly woven. They got to first humble themselves and cry out to God. And now God can come in and strip them of that pride. The spirit of pride prevents everything that can help us change and improve. It prevents us from becoming different people. Pride seals our heart and it prevents us from receiving correction, thus delaying and stopping our spiritual growth. This is the opposite of what happens when people are disciplined. It's talking about the scales or the pride. It says here, this is, I want to say, verse 17 in Job 41:17. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. It's talking about the scales when you're wrapped around pride. All right. The Message Bible says, arrogant, know-it-all stir up discord. People who are easily angered and provoked and controlled by Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan provokes and triggers division, gossip, disagreement, and argumentation among brothers and leaders. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. It's Proverbs 13 and 10. By pride coming nothing but strife, but with well advised is wisdom. And this is a good little book, and it has a lot of illustrations about pride. And what I want to do in these last 2 minutes I have, there was a section that talked about overcoming or living free from pride, and we talked about a lot of it, but I want to make sure these points are brought out. Important principles to remember. Pride is the root of all sin. Pride is a belief that we are better than others. Prideful people are an insult to God. They are detestable, repulsive, and offensive in God's presence. The spirit of Leviathan is the king of those who are proud. Three characteristics of the spirit of pride are stubbornness, we talked about this, hardness of heart, and unyieldingness or unbendable attitude. Pride is the greatest obstacle that prevents us from receiving the revelation of God's word. When you walk in pride, you're not going to be walking in revelation knowledge, because pride will wrap itself around your spirit, and revelation knowledge just is not going to penetrate until you get rid of the pride. You think you're receiving, but you're really not. And that's a sad situation to be in. Many spirits are related to the spirit of Leviathan. These include, as I stated earlier, anger, rebellion, lying, independent spirit, and more. Just we talked about them. All of those things pride hides behind. And a lot of times all of these spirits have to be dealt with until you finally get to the pride. When you finally break it on out, it's the pride that causes people to do what they do. Pride people experiencing difficulty situations, if they do not, you're going to experience difficult situations. All right. Now, humbleness and service to others overcomes and defeats pride. When you begin to walk in humility, You know, and that's, you know, that's why it's so important, you know. Pride goeth before the fall, you know, but a person who walks in godly humility is going to always, you know, overcome pride. With that said, we're going to conclude for this session. And far as I can tell, I should be completed. I've covered everything in the book for the most part. But all of these that we talked about are hindrances to us walking in honor. What we want is for people to understand the importance of walking in the spirit of honor and those things that will prevent you. Pride, one of the main things that will prevent you from walking in true honor. So next week, we're going to get back into our book, and you guys be blessed, and we'll see you next class session. Thank you. Amen.